Good morning, church. Will you all pray with me? Wonderful God, we do thank you for this morning, and we thank you for the grace and the hope that is found in you. God, may we continue to be attentive to your spirit as it moves in this place, in our hearts and our souls and our minds and even in our bodies. Lord, let us just surrender all that to you at this time. We just pray all this in your son's name. Amen. The scripture that you'll see up here in a moment is one that I'd like us to read together, if you will, with me. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. One more time, read it together. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, hope is something that we all need, right? I think it's something that kind of stirs up within us. Some of us are really good at that, and some of us, goodness, we find difficulty in each situation. Nothing is more depressing than what you would consider a hopeless situation. But I'm here to tell you that there's no such thing as a hopeless situation with the God of hope. Amen. We need to have this attitude of a young boy that I heard of. A man approached a Little League baseball game one afternoon, and he asked the boy in the dugout what the situation was, what the score was, and the boy responded, 18-0. We're behind. And the guy said, well, I bet you're kind of discouraged. And the boy said, listen, why would I be discouraged? It wasn't our turn to bat yet. Yeah. That kind of hope in our lives, right? Knowing that there will always be a change of circumstances. Maybe you're here this morning and you think your situation is hopeless. I think about this message and I think about all of those who are outside of these walls even who think their situation is hopeless. Maybe they're waking up this morning and they're feeling as though no one cares about them. Maybe they're waking up this morning and their job is just overwhelming and their boss is overbearing. Maybe there's a problem with their family, or maybe there's a wayward child, or a bad marriage, or an aging parent. Maybe their problem is their finances. They've lost a job or lost the will to kind of keep things going day in and day out at their job. The bills are piling high. Maybe that's some of their problems. Maybe there's some of us in this room that are struggling with some of those things. But no matter what you may be facing, both now and in the future, God promises us, friends, that there is a hope and there is a future. Now, I'm going to assume that there's probably some doubters here today who claim to be realists, right? I mean, come on, Brian. I mean, in their minds, sometimes you just got to throw in the towel in a situation and just let it go, right? And I understand, I'm not saying that we will get everything that we've hoped for, right? And all of us have hoped for certain things, right, in our lives, and sometimes it comes and sometimes it doesn't. I think sometimes we don't get to pick and choose what we get and what we hope for. Everything is done according to God's will. I mean, who wouldn't hope for like $1 billion in the lottery, right? Well, they don't have things that high, but you know, let's just say $1 million. That'd be great, right? I mean, that's a large sum of money, but maybe God doesn't allow that because then we might lose sight of God and lose sight of what's really important in our lives and focus more on ourselves, that we become more dependent on ourselves and less dependent on God. So maybe hope is really measured by what God thinks we need rather than maybe what we want. So this morning, we're going to give a couple of things that we can always have hope in a right relationship with God. You know, the word hope is found 137 times in the Bible. It's used in 28 different sections. So God has a lot to say about hope. So the first thing that we can have hope in is hope for the hurting. Now, there are many people, and maybe even some here, who are hurting this morning. I kind of look, you know, every week, I kind of glance around the room, and I just have talked to some of you this week, and I know that life is a struggle, and something or somebody is hurting you, but listen to what God says in his word, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Listen to this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith to this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that was given to us. You know, it states that we have a peace, and not just any peace, but a peace of God. And it's not the peace that means like the absence of war. That's kind of when we think about that, we think nonviolence. But it's deeper than that. It's a peace of being reconciled to God. And that's a peace in his promises. And it's having an at-easement, even in the midst of difficult situations, that we have this peace. See, there are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. Did you hear that? There are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. It states in verse 2 in chapter 5 that we as Christians can rejoice. And that means like to boast, right? This idea, it means there's an expectation of God to bring the glory no matter what the circumstances that we're in. And the word glory here is the same word as rejoice in verse 2. See, Christians can rejoice not only in the future hope, but also their present troubles. How many of you love to rejoice in troubles? Now look around, there's not one hand in the air, right? My favorite verse, my life verse, is James chapter 1, verse 2. It says, consider it joy when you face trials of many kinds, because it develops perseverance and endurance, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. See, tribulations here refer to physical suffering and distress. Perseverance means endurance. And so trials and tribulation, they produce an endurance in you when we exercise our faith during those difficult times. And everyone here should know that when you exercise, it means you're getting stronger, right? And so perseverance and endurance then builds character. And see, Christians endure tribulation. God works in them to develop qualities and virtues that will strengthen them and draw them closer to him. And a result is this fortified hope that God will always fulfill his promises, right? I mean, when we go through the endurance, when we go through the trials, it builds a character, a virtue within us that we understand that God will fulfill his promises. Especially the one promise that he says that we will not be able, or that he will not allow us to take on more than we can bear. Oh, but wait a second, that's not a promise of God, is it? How many of you have heard that statement? God will only give you what you can bear. How many of you? That is a false statement, friends. I'm telling you have heard lies. If that has been something you have been told, it's a straight out lie. See, first of all, God doesn't give us things that we have to bear. We are sinful people. We give them to ourselves. What God says is that he will walk with us in the midst of that so that we can bear those loads. We will always get things more than we can bear. A death of a spouse, a death of a child, a horrible accident, health issues that are hurting, a hurting world outside. Yeah, that's more than we can bear. But with God's help, we will be able to bear it. Yeah, that's a tough thing, right? Verse 5 reminds us that the hope that Christians have in their future is that God will never disappoint them. The reason that we can be so confident of God's love poured out is the moment that a person trusts in Christ, the moment that when we are baptized and we receive the Holy Spirit on us, that those moments are the moments that we recognize the power of God in our lives and the hope that comes with him. So no matter what they are going through, no matter what you are going through, your hope is to be in God. He may not take you out of the situation that you are in, but he will be with you in the midst of the situation if you allow him, and he will make you a better person, a better disciple through it. The next thing we can have a hope in is a hope for the hopeless. Years ago, S4 submarine was rammed by a ship off the coast of Massachusetts, and it sunk immediately, and the entire crew was trapped in kind of this prison underneath of the water. And every effort was made to rescue the people within it, but they ultimately failed. And near the end of the ordeal, there was a deep sea diver who was doing everything in his power to find a way to these people inside of the sub. And he heard this tapping noise, and he put his helmet to the side of the submarine, and he realized that it was Morse code, and he attached himself to the side, and it spelled out in his mind, and the message tapped over and over and over again, repeating the same question over and over. And the question was, is there any hope? You know, I I get really passionate about sharing the gospel and being a person who tries to share Jesus with everyone that I meet. You know, I love you all very, very much. But I love all of those lost people who are out there, because even more so, because I know they don't have what you have, what many people in this room have, which is a Savior that loves them and that you know that he loves you. And so I have such a heart for these people who are out there and they're banging on the sub constantly. Is there any hope? And we're all these deep sea divers. We're swimming around. But are we putting our ear up to the sub? Are we trying to find an opportunity to release them from this prison that they're in? You know, nothing is more depressing than a person who has lost hope. Friends, I have been around so many people in my 20-some years of pastoral ministry that have just absolutely lost hope. They've stopped banging on that sub wall. A number of years ago, there was this research that was performed, an experiment to talk about the effect of hope on while you're undergoing hardship. And there were these two sets of laboratory rats that were placed in separate tubs of water. And the researchers left one set of water alone, and they found that within an hour, all of the rats died. They all drowned. The other rats and the other one, they were periodically lifted out of the water and returned. And what happened? Well, those sets of rats swam for over 24 hours. Why? Not because they were given a rest, but because they suddenly had hope. See, those animals somehow hoped that if they could just stay afloat for a little longer, someone would reach down and rescue them. And it holds such powerful truth that even for unthinking rodents, how much greater should it be in effect in our lives? There are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. Friends, there are people outside of these walls. As we kind of continue this series about what it means to be around the table, at the table, there are people outside of these walls who are just waiting for someone to pick them up for a moment and love on them and care for them and support them and encourage them. They're just people out there, just for a moment, they just need a little bit of respite to know that there's a God of hope that will always come and rescue them from the trials and the tribulations of life. There are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. Lamentations 3 says this: "Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed." I love that. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. I love it. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. See, it states in this verse, because God's mercy and compassions, you have a new morning. Every day is a new day for you. Every moment is a new moment for you. That God's mercies and compassions fall upon you each morning and can give you hope. Every day presents us with a new opportunity to discover more and more of God's love. And as long as you put your hope in him, you have the promise of the better day coming. Hope is not a wishful thought, friends, but a confident expectation of the Lord. The verb hope here suggests this idea of a waiting attitude, anticipating what God's going to do. Friends, sometimes in your situations, you may just have to wait there for a while, until God comes in and takes care of that moment for you. Nothing is too big for God. No matter what situation you're going through, God is bigger and he will take care of it. It might not be in the way that you want it to, but it's the way that he knows that you need it to. You may think that you don't understand what I'm going through, Brian. I imagine the children of Israel thought that they were in a hopeless situation when they hit the Red Sea, right? Or perhaps Jonah thought it was a hopeless situation when he found himself in the belly of a fish, or Daniel in the lion's den, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, Mary and Martha when their brother was in the ground for 3 days. We would all think that those would be hopeless situations, and God time and time again showed himself bigger than any problem that we can muster. Amen. We have a God of hope. Amen. The final thing that we can have hope in is hope for a future. As Craig Kocher in his commentary shares this text, I want to read this to you. Christian hope is fundamentally different than optimism. Christian hope locks its steely eyes on the devastation in the world around it and readily acknowledges that it might not get better. Christian hope does not bury its head in Yuletide cheer and artificial lights, but like an Advent wreath, it grows stronger and brighter each week. This hope pushes its way into the brokenness of a world, clearing a path in the wilderness so that the true light might burst in the darkness. Oh, that's what hope does. Kocher then goes on to tell a story from a gentleman named Tom Long. Tom Long is one of my favorite preachers of all time. If you ever want to know what Pastor Brian, what Brian listens to, I listen to Tom Long. He's absolutely awesome. And he tells about this story. Tom Long tells about the story of a rabbi at a concentration camp named Hugo Gern. And he was sent to Auschwitz as a little boy. And in the midst of this concentration camp, in the midst of all of the death and the horror around them, the Jews held onto whatever strands of religious observances they could without kind of drawing the ire of the guards. And one cold winter evening, Hugo's father gathered the family in the barracks. And it was the first night of Hanukkah, the Jewish Feast of Lights. And a young child, Hugo, watched in horror as his father took the last pat of butter to make a makeshift candle using a string from his ragged claws. And he took a match and he lit it. And Hugo cried, "Dad, no, I mean, the butter's our last bit of food. You know, how are we going to survive?" "Well, we can live without food," his father said, "but we cannot live a single minute without faith and hope. There's a fire of hope that we are to never let it go out. Not here, not anywhere. God is the God of hope, amen? Amen." Hebrews 23 says, "Hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he promised what he promised is faithful." The confession of hope is a believer's confident expectation of the future. If we do our part in hoping, God promises to do his part. But that one part of the equation comes two different parts. See, the first part for future is a hope of the lost. See, if you're here this morning and you have not placed your faith in your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, friends, I want to call you to a new hope. Ephesians chapter 2 says this, that the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, but having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. See, the only way that we can have hope is by entering into a personal relationship with Jesus. And you don't have to be good enough to get to heaven. We can never be good enough to get to heaven. And it's not about coming to church. It's not about a religion, it's about a relationship with your Lord and Savior. That's what it's about. You need to enter that relationship with Jesus today so that you may always have that hope within you. The second hope is a future for the future, is a hope for the saved. Then the saved, those who have entered into a personal relationship, you have a hope of a future with your Lord Jesus Christ. But you should not hoard that hope. Rather, share it with others. Hebrews 6 says this, "But beloved, we are confident of the better things concerning you." Yes, the things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints. And we desire that each one of you should show the same diligence and the full assurance of hope to the very end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Better things are promised for those who work and labor for Christ's sake to the very end." Talks about not becoming sluggish, about not sitting on our laurels, about not being lazy or stingy, about sharing the hope that only Jesus can give. You can always have hope. We have a God of hope, amen? There's a hymn that I absolutely love, and it's one that has really connected with me over the years about this hope and where my foundation is to be. And so I'm going to ask him to go ahead and put it up there for us. I want us to stand, and I'd like us to read this together. Will you stand with me as we close out our time here? All right, here we go. My hope is built... Stop. So look at these words. Look at these words. How many of you know this hymn? Okay, a lot of you. How many of you all believe this hymn? If you believe this, say it like you mean it, right? Say it with me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. And every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand.